see the people where you live like that? The people in your community need Jesus just as much as you do. And they're around us day in and day out. And as we run about our lives in 1,000 different directions, most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves, they're invisible to us. But they're people that need Jesus. Did you see the looks on the faces? I bet I watched that 50 times as we worked on it and tried to put it together. And the looks on the faces. And maybe it's because of where I'm at in my life and some of the things that are happening in my brother's life. And I shared a little bit of that yesterday in our Bible study time. But what I'm discovering is there are people all around us that look great on the outside, but are empty on the inside. And in the famous quote that we've heard so many times before, literally I see it every day, that most men and women live lives of quiet desperation. There's something about those early years of life where we're pressing on, and there's always something else ahead, and maybe we're dissatisfied to some degree, and so we're preoccupied with lots of stuff, and so we don't really stop and analyze our lives and ask ourselves what's missing. But at some point in life, as life kind of gets disappointing, there's an emptiness that gnaws at us, and we realize that there's something missing. And people begin to cry out in different ways at different points in their lives for Jesus. As we finish up in power and we talk about the vision for who we are, you'll notice that we aren't going to talk about methodology because we're different. Praise God, we're different. I go to a lot of Baptist meetings too, Ed, and most of them are not as diverse as we are here in this place. And I'm grateful for that and thankful for that. Because there's an opportunity among Minnesota, Wisconsin Baptists to be on mission with the Lord Jesus Christ cross-culturally everywhere we go. But we have to catch a vision for that, and we have to be able to see that as the people of God to move to where God wants us to be. If you have your Bibles, will you open with me to Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 and 18? For I want us to see the power of vision, to be able to see the lives of people around us, and to be drawn to what it is that we can do together to reach our communities for Jesus Christ and see the lives of people changed. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 to 18, we read some words that come in the midst of a struggle. Most of you remember the book of Nehemiah. You remember the story of Nehemiah, how he's serving the king in a foreign land, how news comes to Nehemiah, how he's heartbroken in the midst of the news, how he cries out to God in prayer. He's pained by what he hears and by what he sees. And as a result of that prayer, God launches a vision in Nehemiah's life that begins to spread out from there. In verses 17 and 18 of chapter 2, we see that come to a culmination and to a point as Nehemiah brings the people of God into that vision and the plan of God begins to unfold. In verse 17 we read, "So I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned down. Come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's walls so that we will no longer be a disgrace.' I told them how the gracious hand of my God had been on me and what the king had said to me. They said, 'Let's start rebuilding.' And they were encouraged to do this good work." I'd like to share three brief things as we look at this passage of Scripture and apply it to who we are here in this place and what God has called us to do. Because if we don't have any clue what the vision is, in all likelihood, we'll never accomplish very much. And for many years, we have just simply been about doing God's work without a focus and without a plan. And we as the people that God calls Minnesota, Wisconsin Baptists have to have a clarity of vision. It's a clarity of vision that I believe has arisen out of you, through your pastors and through you as leaders and through those that work with us, where God has clarified what it is that will make a difference in our lives as we work in our communities and in our church. The first thing I think we need to understand, as Nehemiah saw, is we need to see where we are. You can't get somewhere until you understand where you are. I'm always getting on the computer, and I love the maps on the computer, but you have to put a source place and then a destination to be able to get the map. We have to know where we are if we're going to know where we're going to go. In verse 17, hear Nehemiah as he talks to the people. He said, "So I said to them, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned down." Nehemiah understood very clearly where he was. God had opened up in his spirit and in his life this need, and he saw with clarity what the problem was and where they were. Now, you and I need to understand very clearly that we can talk plus or minus percentages, we can talk millions or thousands or whatever we want to see, but millions of people in Minnesota and Wisconsin are lost without Jesus Christ. That's what we're about here. All else is dwarfed by the call to reach people, to be his witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. God has called us to that, and millions of people in Minnesota and Wisconsin are crying out in multiple ways for Jesus. Dr. Roy Fish, who would have been here, and we miss him in his presence here, said last year at the NAM Summer State Leadership Meeting, every county in America has a smaller percentage of believers today than it did 10 years ago. Now put those two pieces together in your mind. Millions of people who are going to spend eternity separated from God. Millions of people that are our families and our friends and our neighbors who are lost without Jesus Christ. And we're going backward rather than forward in reaching those people. Folks, let's be honest, and Ed has said it in some comical ways and in some funny ways, but many of our churches are not living in 2007, but in 1956, or 1964, or wherever it might be. But we have to be clear about where we really are. Are we culturally sensitive enough to be able to reach the communities where we're at? Or do we put out barriers all around us that say, you know, this is a private club, and we do things in a certain way, and you're probably not going to fit in here because we do this for us and not for you. We have to be honest about where we're at. Nehemiah said it in blunt terms. You can see the trouble that we're in. Now, the second thing about this passage is we need to see where God wants us to be. Nehemiah, again, had a clarity of vision. You might see here in this passage that it just seemed to pop out of clear air. The vision of God never comes out kind of like that. But if we had time, we would look back into chapter 1 and we would see very clearly that the vision of God came, first of all, as a problem that presented itself as a problem and a crisis to Nehemiah. But instead, in prayer, he began to see it as an opportunity. And God began clarifying that vision in the midst of prayer. And we see that in that first chapter. The bulk of that chapter, one, is all about Nehemiah talking this over with God and the agony that he's experiencing and he sees there. Then when we open up chapter 2, we see Nehemiah go and do his homework, too. The vision of God is seen with our eyes open, and it's grounded in prayer as God leads us to see it and understand it. But that doesn't mean we don't do our homework as well. And so we see Nehemiah on horseback going through Jerusalem, studying the city quietly to find out what's really there. And a vision comes to pass in the midst of all that God is doing in Nehemiah's life. That's kind of the way it came here for us in Minnesota, Wisconsin. I did not sit in an office and say, you know, I think there's some things that would turn our convention around and set it on fire for Jesus Christ. If I had done that, you wouldn't be interested and you wouldn't care and we wouldn't work it. But instead, out of the lives of many leaders and many people across our two states, we've seen over many years God bring to the surface many things that he's doing. And as we have crystallized those ideas, we have offered for you by the year 2010 a few things that we believe God is doing that if we put our emphasis and our efforts into, we would see God reach Minnesota, Wisconsin for Christ. Now, on the bottom of your paper, you've got some of that. I believe this is the vision that God is giving to us, and let me walk you through it. I believe by 2010, we could have 200 churches working together in Minnesota, Wisconsin. Right now, we have approximately 150. We've been doing things like adding 8 or 9 and losing 5 or 6 for years. God has been doing incredible things in our midst. And our directors of missions, particularly, they're right on the precipice of seeing some amazing thing break out in so many of our associations. We've celebrated new works like Bob Turner's with at Portage, and we've seen Jacob's Well, which is not a very old church, and others of you. We've got things that are happening all around us. God can bring this about in our midst if we work together. A second thing that I believe God is doing among us is that ultimately by 2010, we could see 1,465 baptisms a year among us. That's 1,465 people making a public profession of faith saying, I want to follow Jesus Christ and I want Him to transform my life and live through me. That would be an increase of approximately 10% a year as God would work that out in the lives of our churches. I think the third thing that God has shown us is that we believe God would desire for us to have 650 pastors and leaders in an ongoing leadership development track, where we would see constant effort and emphasis put on growing in the Lord. It is not enough one day to enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He desires for us to be transformed, to become more useful for the kingdom, and to be growing in Christ and in our ability to serve Him. And we must continue to put an emphasis on growing and serving. And the opportunities that come almost every day for us will help us to be more effective leaders in our churches. That's you and me growing in Christ so that we can lead God's people in the kingdom. A fourth thing is to see 40% of our churches growing. Right now, we are actually what would be above the national average. About 30% of our churches are growing at the rate of 5% a year, sustained over 5 years. That sounds terrible to me, only 30% of us. But when you compare us to other places, we're actually doing better than most places in the country. But it's not enough. We've got to continue to push forward to see that kind of health in our churches as we continue to grow in our ability to minister to our communities and to the world. A fifth thing that's necessary for us to sustain these goals is for us to see ourselves as the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention becoming more able to stand on our own 2 feet financially, to pay our own way out of our own gifts for the sake of the kingdom's work here. In essence, we've got to grow up. We've got to go through adolescence and become adults to see God do something special in our midst. The sixth thing is to see 2 regional prayer meetings per year organized to pray for kingdom growth. You watched the video yesterday of Jeremiah Lampier in New York City. I cannot believe that that hits the very weekend of our executive board meeting. Shelby, I almost picked up the phone and called you and said, listen, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be in New York because I would love to experience that event in that place. But more important than going off to New York is to see God do it here in our 2 states. And I'll be asking our directors of missions to work with me over the next few weeks as we gather together to find a couple of dates where we can gather together as the people of God and pray for God to do something special here in Minnesota and Wisconsin. A seventh thing is a Kingdom Connections network, connecting kingdom resources and opportunities. Wouldn't it be amazing if your church didn't just belong to your church? Wouldn't it be amazing if you and I could come to understand that we are a part of a broader kingdom? You're a part of an association of churches, of brothers and sisters that you can pull alongside of. You're a part of a state convention that you can pull alongside of. And you're a part of a broader category of Southern Baptists that we can pull alongside of. But wouldn't it even be more amazing if we could suddenly find our feet at the table of the larger group of evangelicals working in our world and in our place, a part of the kingdom work here? We want to put together a system where we can make those connections happen and facilitate God's people working together in our 2 states. Number 8 is a missions advocate in every church. Belle Fahey, who works with the Women's Missionary Union, they're already well on the way to recruiting a missions advocate in every church, trying to find an individual that has a heart and a passion for local missions right there in the community where you live, all the way to the rest of the world, and to keep that as a focus, to remind us that that's what we're about as we proclaim the gospel. The 9th thing is 50% of our churches taking a missions trip. If you want to fire up your congregation to suddenly understand your place in the world and your understanding of what you can do and what you can be involved in for the kingdom, go someplace else and see what God's doing and share Christ wherever God takes you. People come back on fire and turned around. We want to help facilitate that and make it happen and encourage you to do that. And then lastly, as that culminates in a 10% weekly growth in worship attendance, we would see 13,650 people on a weekly basis attending Sunday morning worship services or Saturday night worship services or whatever it might be in your communities and in your places. These would be people that would find Christ relevant to the culture in which they would live. These would be people that don't know Jesus personally as their Savior. These would be the people that we saw pictures of as we began. I believe God can do this in our midst if we work together. This was the last piece of Nehemiah's call, and my invitation to you today is Nehemiah thirdly invited God's people to the task. You know, sometimes it's the most obvious things that are overlooked. You know, sometimes I think as a young pastor, I got up and did the stuff I thought I was supposed to do and forgot the obvious. That the church wasn't about my ministry. The church was about our ministry. Notice Nehemiah's clear words here. Come, let us rebuild Jerusalem's wall. And listen to their response. And they were encouraged to do this good work. Let's start rebuilding. Let's do it together. That was the response. And as a result of that, in a short 52 days, what seemed to be absolutely impossible when Nehemiah first got that vision was accomplished easily because the people of God worked together to see it accomplished. What could God do through us, in us, and around us? What could He do if you and I caught a passion for His vision and for His plan in our lives? I don't think that we could even begin to imagine what God could do. I remember reading an interesting little scientific thing a number of years ago about a little Egyptian bird called the Egyptian bird, and the Egyptian crocodile bird, excuse me, little black and white bird. And the interesting thing about this bird was it had a very unusual partnership with the crocodile, thus its name. The crocodiles would come out of the Nile River and crawl up on the mud to warm themselves and to sun themselves and to relax. And this little bird, what it would do is it land on the back of the crocodile and be completely unmolested as it would literally go around the back of the crocodile and pick off the parasites and enjoy its lunch. Great symbiotic relationship. Both of them mutually benefiting from each other. But one of the things that absolutely amazed me about that bird is when that bird is finished picking the parasites off the back of the crocodile, this is right before lunch, by the way, when that bird is finished picking those parasites off the back of that crocodile will just open up his mighty jaws, and that bird will walk around the front of the crocodile and walk right into his mouth. And inside of his mouth, he begins picking out the leeches between the crocodile's teeth. And that great crocodile, with the force of nature that could just snap and just totally destroy that bird in an instant, sits there in delight as that bird crawls around inside of his mouth and just picks out the leeches in the process. Mutually beneficial relationship. Symbiotic in nature. I believe that's what God is calling us to be with each other. Wouldn't it be incredible if the city churches found that the suburban churches would come in and minister where they were? Wouldn't it be amazing if the inner city churches found a ministry to show the people on the outside churches where they can touch the lives of people where they're at? Wouldn't it be amazing if the big churches, the islands of strength as Bill used to call them, could suddenly catch a vision for helping the small struggling congregations in the outer parts of our state reach health? Wouldn't it be amazing if the bank account at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Rochester didn't just belong to Emmanuel Baptist Church Rochester? My pastor just had a heart attack. But could be picked by the churches around who had needs. Wouldn't it be amazing if we came to understand that the very boundaries that we hold around us are the very things that keep us from seeing God's vision powerfully manifested among His people. You know, I believe with all my heart that God brought me to Minnesota and Wisconsin. If I didn't believe that, I'd be long gone, because sometimes I wonder, Lord, what in the world am I doing here? And then the Lord wakes me up and He shows me the faces of people like you who are doing incredible things everywhere in your communities and in your places. And then He shows me the lives of others that are coming alongside of you, and I see the magnification of God's work and ministry taking place. And I say, where else in the world would I want to be but here with you? I think God wants to do something special by 2010. I want to be here when it happens, because I am a Minnesota Baptist. Amen. And I am a Wisconsin Baptist. I get the delight of being in both places. And I know God wants to reach the people that we saw. Let's give them Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, in all else that we're about, keep the faces of people before us and help us to give them Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are about to have the delight of having the Vacation Bible School kids come and join us. And if you have never been here before, this is a lot of fun. So we welcome them. Will you clap and welcome them?